Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Today's class is about, if you want to put a title on it, you can just say exhortation and warning, okay? So, excuse me with this, I'm constantly trying to catch a cold here. Let's just get right into it. Proverbs 21, verse 30. Man, that drop from 67 to 39 the other day kind of got me, because it was nice and warm, you know.
All right, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. There is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord.
So, just like when Satan came out, in the Garden of Eden and had a different doctrine other than what the Lord had for Adam and Eve, if you read on in Genesis 3, he got punished. Mm-hmm. There is no outsmarting, outfoxing, wiggle room, way around. there is no taking advantage of the Lord. You know, no matter what you think, no matter what you've been taught, that's not the case. Excuse me. So we have to get an understanding of that. Because by a lot of things that we do, and even us before we turn to the Lord, a lot of things we did, we was basically trying to outsmart the Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like people murder each other. There was a thing last week about the road rage thing, where the guy was cutting the guy off. The guy had a pickup truck. He had his kids in the back of the truck. He was cutting the guy off and trying to keep him from passing them. Well, guess what happened? The guy backed up a little bit and let off a couple rounds. One of the rounds went through the back window of the pickup and shot the guy's kids. You know? Mm-hmm. So just because there was an incident on the highway or whatever, somebody had lost their life. People never met each other before,
mm-hmm.
unless they passed each other, you know, the week before or whatever, and cut each other off. But, you know, we think that doing stuff like that is right. But people got me pissed off. I'm going to do something. You can't. That's going against the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that's going to turn out good for you. Just like us back in the day, both of us in our separate experiences, we used to be like gigantic weed heads, you know. Oh man, this is deep, you know, and I think better, and I, you know, I hear the little symbol in the background of that music that I never heard before, and it's such a nice, wait a minute, I'm hungry. Oh, man, that Lord said don't do that.
Exactly.
And that ends up leading you to you know, you're poisoning your body, especially nowadays because they spraying pesticides on it. You know, so you're smoking pesticides, you know, mm-hmm. in addition to all the other bad effects of it. You know, that stuff is against the Lord, against his counsel, and there's no profit to it. You have something?
Yeah, let's go to Galatians 6 real quick.
Uh-huh.
Just to further bring out the point. So, you know, like a lot of times people will do things and they haven't gotten caught by this mm-hmm. system. You know, law enforcement.
Yeah.
So they continue to do it and thinking that they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
But we just got to understand, just like what you're saying, we can't fight against the Most High God and his son Christ because, you know, they see mm-hmm. everything. So mm-hmm. you think you're getting away with it, you're not because mm-hmm. they see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So read Galatians 6 and read 7 and 8.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
So God is not mocked. So don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. You can't fool him. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Mm-hmm.
It's making a comparison with people that plant and all that other stuff. So if you plant seed, like apple seeds or whatever, you're going to get an apple tree, and then eventually you're going to get apples from that tree. You're not going to get an orange from the apple seed that you planted.
Mm-hmm.
So much in the same way, when we're doing wickedness, we're gonna pay for it, man. It's like mm-hmm. the saying, you live by the gun, you die by the gun.
Yep.
So we're not gonna get away with it, and people think they are, but we're really not. So mm-hmm. read verse 8
for me. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
So some of those things that we mentioned is the flesh, the murdering, mm-hmm. the smoking, and all mm-hmm. those stuff. Those are all catering to our flesh. Mm-hmm. That's what our flesh desires. That's what feels good to us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we sow to those things or give in to those things, we're going to reap corruption because mm-hmm. that's what those things bring, nothing but death and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
That Spirit that it's talking about is having that same Spirit of Jesus Christ being just like he was. And if we do that, we're going to get that life everlasting
mm-hmm.
that he promised to those that, what, love him and keep his ways when he gets back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, well, yeah, excellent. Well, you look at this. If you take the programming in the entertainment and music, whatever industries, that takes advantage of our hatred of each other, you know, that programming that's called gang culture,
mm-hmm.
if you sow to that, are you going to have a community full of hard-working lawyers, doctors, dentists, electricians, workers, even sanitation workers, all kind of workers. There's people working, going to job, working, making sure they're taking care of their neighborhood, you know, helping out people, making sure there's no crime in the neighborhood. Are you going to have that as a result of sowing into the programming that's known as gang culture?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, we see, like, you know, these kids that are coming up today, that's what they give themselves into, mm-hmm. what they see on these videos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be the next rapper. I want to mm-hmm. make it big in the rap industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever. You know, it's just mm-hmm. it's things like that. They're mimicking,
yeah.
you know, like what they're seeing.
Yeah, and these guys are renting jewelry, renting women, renting cars, renting houses to make a video. And talking some rent-a-rapper lyrics that, I'll give you an example. How are you going to be a soap opera star? And so your training was basically in acting, and you probably went to an art school or something like that. But you the hardest cat out here rapping nowadays. Just like what used to trip me out about Tupac back in the day.
Right.
He was hardcore thug like this, that, the third. The cat went to an art school, man.
Yeah, I know.
They're writing poetry and stuff, man.
I know. That tripped me out, too, when I learned that, man.
You know, yep. These cats all putting this stuff out there.
Yeah.
That's not really them. If you sit there and would talk to the guy, well, they got interviews. You can't talk to him now, but they had interviews where he was like, no, we got to, I'm like a rose growing out of a crack in a concrete sidewalk because I'm this and I'm that and I'm, out of all the stuff they got set for me to be, I'm something different. He wasn't talking about hardly any of the stuff that he was putting on. So all that stuff was fake. But guess what?
Yep.
It was the new style and hot beats. Boy, it was some hot beats. And our people loved it. So we went into it, and now we started living it because we love doing that stuff. Just like we was talking back in the day, like in the 70s, 71, 72, you know, when Star Child first came out, the Parliament Funkadelic, the dude that walked around with the diaper on. That was the hot joint, right? The hot music and everything. So all the people that was in the band,
right,
they was all having one dude with a diaper on. So everybody wanted to be like Star Child or Bootsy or somebody, you know. Because we love to imitate and we fall for this program. But all this thing is good music, whatever, questionable lyrics. But it's not the programming that we should be going for. It's programming that's catering to our lust. And that's what we have to realize. There's things that, some things that are entertainment only. They are not examples. You know? So we have to remember that. Let's go to Proverbs 19. And 21. And because there's a lot of things out there for us.
Yeah.
But there's only one right thing for us, especially for our people. We're not supposed to be wherever we are in the world, that's where the hood is. Wherever in what city in the world, what town in the world, wherever there's a hood, that's where we live. And there's always drug dealing. There's always murdering. There's always, like you mentioned, the thing in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They gangbanging in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not people that don't look like us and have the same history and, you know, heritage and stuff that we do. It's us.
Yep.
Up there in the snow.
Yep.
Doing drive-by donuts. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. That's not supposed to be us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that stuff is out there, and it's glorified, and it's an avenue, it's a device, it's a way to live your life, but that's not what stands. That's not what's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's right. Read Proverbs 19 and 21.
Excuse me. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Okay. So, one of the biggest weed-smoking musicians back in the day, back in the day, was Bob Marley.
Mm.
He had, like, it was something wrong with his foot, like cancer in his foot or something was in his foot.
Yeah.
And did they cut one of his toes off, or they did something to his foot, I remember.
Yeah, I think he had an operation on it.
He had an operation on his foot, but it was some type of cancer or whatever.
Yep.
But he kept smoking that weed, and that was, the guy had some interesting thoughts about the current situation, and, you know, he said some things that make you think, you know, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But his way was to constantly stay blasted by weed.
Yep.
What happened to that dude?
He ended up dying.
He went in the hospital and ain't come out.
You know what? You know what, though, in saying that, because the excuse that people make is that he also smoked cigarettes.
So that's a different herb.
Yeah, so they say, okay, that's where he got the cancer from. Or some people say it was a conspiracy theory and they gave him the cancer.
Yeah, he was too deep.
Yeah.
And And they wanted to make, I would believe a conspiracy theory that they wanted to make a martyr out of him to have people follow after his lifestyle of constantly staying high.
Yeah, exactly.
That if they did anything to him that, because they had taken other people and killed them, or apparently killed, somebody killed them, or they died some kind of way, and people followed them like they Christ.
Yep.
Oh, we got to do this and this, and we got to do it the way this guy says. But is that method according to the counsel of the Lord?
No, it's not.
Okay, so what is it going to get you?
Nothing but death and destruction.
There were some very great, consequentially great men that died in the 60s for our people, and then in the 70s, and you know, doing different things, different, somewhat different good things, you know. But our communities better off now?
Nope.
Okay. So did that council stand?
No, it didn't.
But did the Bible change in that time?
No, it didn't.
Religion changed, but the Bible didn't. The Bible was still the same words, right?
Yep.
Okay. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Excuse me.
All right.
14.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you.
So, you know, actually, I don't have any sons, so I'm not sonning anybody, but I went to the scripture because there's a thing, you know, things we have to look at. You know, when we come out with these scriptures, it may offend people or make people think that we're talking down. That's not what we're doing. We're not here for that. We are here to warn people according to as it is written. Because that's what that's what Ezekiel 3 said. You know what? Warn them for me. It didn't say go out there and get personal and personally attack and tell people that they wicked because they're doing it. It didn't say that. It didn't say stand out on the corner and yell at people and, you know, call all your sisters harlots and call them, you know, and tell people they're going to die if they don't follow you. And it didn't say that. It says, Ezekiel 3 says warn.
Yep.
What the right way is. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not out here to say, because we were some of the most notorious cats with some of us, you know, or infamous, you know, not to glorify, but we were sinners too.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have things we have to work on. So we're not better than anybody that's out there listening or watching or whatever.
Exactly.
Go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 and 13.
But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Ah, so that's what we have to do. We have to encourage each other to get it right. And that's why we come out and do this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't want any of us to get hardened through the trickery of sin, the desires of sin, you know, because there's so many things out there, because like we just mentioned, there is a lifestyle, let me get it right, lifestyle out there, you know, the gangster rapper, the, I don't know, what is the newest rapper, the skinny jeans wearing rapper? I don't know. I started losing interest in the late 80s with that stuff, but I hung around for a minute. But today I don't know what it is, but there's an avenue for you to go into your desires that are not according to the Bible, not right according to the Bible, if you get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lifestyle, like if you just if you want to be the best basketball player, gotta be the best, and you go and you get all into that and you forsake everything and sacrifice everything to be the best, are you treating people like brothers and sisters if you're doing it? Just think about it. I'm not saying anything is wrong, but, you know, when you go and sell $15 shoes for $200-$300, that's like extortion almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and go into that. It you can do it if you want to, but if you think that's right, you're actually deceived or going into it wholeheartedly, because that's not right.
Yep.
Because we're not supposed to be extortioners, right? 1 Corinthians 6.
Yep.
Right? So, but there's many things out there. You can lead a life of being the best gangster, murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting high. You could the biggest whoremonger. All of these things are the deceitfulness of sin.
Yep.
And we have to encourage each other to not go into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, what do we have to get back to when we come from that? Hebrews 8. There was a covenant established between Christ and the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4 goes into that. But that covenant had a fault with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Read Hebrews 8, verse 7.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
Okay, so what was wrong with the first covenant?
Absolutely nothing.
What was it? Something wrong with the words that made up the requirements for the people to perform?
Nope.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Read verse 8.
Hebrews 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
So he's giving the children of Israel a chance to come back into his favor by making a new covenant, which is being very, very merciful.
Yeah.
This covenant is not from Christ through Moses to the people in the wilderness. This covenant is from Christ
mm-hmm.
to us
yep.
individually and as a people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the mediator,
yep.
right? But the fault was with the people,
mm-hmm.
not with the words that were given. Read verse Hebrews 8, verses 9 and 10.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Okay, so this is what we have to come back to. The same gospel preached to us in the New Testament is the same gospel preached to them in the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So when we look at that, you know, like, let's look at an example. Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we are learning the right things in our religious institutions today, why are people leaving their wife for somebody else in the church and having children?
Yeah.
But the old law is done away with, except for the tithing part.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put some other stuff. That, no. It's according to as it was written.
Yep, exactly.
All right? So they didn't believe it. You can read Hebrews 1, 4, and 2. They didn't believe it, so they didn't make it they had to die off. They didn't get to that promise
because
they kept going against it.
Yep.
The same thing is going to happen to us if we don't get with the words that are written. We'll be left off too, and we won't make it because the time is going to come where, you know, he's going to send his son, and we're going to have to repent. Let's go to Acts 17 right quick. We're going to have to repent to make it, because if we don't, we ain't going to make it.
Acts 17, what verse?
Mm-hmm. 30 and 31.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
So we have to repent from whatever we've been doing that's against what the Bible says. We don't.
Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead.
Okay, so we need to repent and get right with this, with the Bible according to as it is written. And we can't look at the examples of all the bad examples and scandals and stuff in religion, because those are just examples of people that are not taking heed to the scriptures.
The topic that we're going to talk about today is what a place of worship should be about. So the topic, again, what a place of worship should be about. That's what we're going to talk about today. So the first scripture that I want to look at is the book of Malachi. We're going to look here, and we're going to read Malachi chapter 2. Verse 7. So what a place of worship should be about.
I'm about to say Matthew. Malachi 2, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
Okay, so whatever place of worship we go or we're at, there's usually someone there. You know, people might have a different name, a priest, a pastor, or elder, or a bishop, whatever, that supposedly is guiding the congregation or, you know, in spiritual matters, or should be guiding the congregation in spiritual matters. So that's how it's set up. That's how these places of worship are set up, usually any place of worship. And the Bible is telling us that the priest, whoever is in control, or the elder, or whatever, that person's lips should keep knowledge. And what knowledge is it talking about? It's not talking about the knowledge of this world or anything like that. It's talking about the knowledge of the Bible, the ways of God, and how we should all live our lives. Right? That's the knowledge that it's talking about. Then it goes on to say, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So the priest, the pastor, elder, whoever, and even the people should seek the law at his mouth. So what law, again, is it talking about? Is it talking about the laws of this land? It's talking about the laws of God. This is written in the Old Testament, so now we know that everything comes through Jesus Christ. And as we go on in the show, we're going to bring out scriptures that show that, okay? But we should seek the law at his mouth, so it shouldn't be a thing where the congregation is being taught, well, you know, those old laws in the Old Testament. We don't have to do those anymore because Christ came and did away with those things. We don't have to do that. That shouldn't be the case. It should be, yeah, those laws that were written in the Old Testament, they're still around, but now Jesus Christ has come into earth and has shown us, or given us a better understanding and how we should apply those things to our lives. Because Paul says in the scriptures, Romans 3 and 31, I believe, should we then do away with the law? I'm paraphrasing. He says, no, we established the law now through Jesus Christ. So Christ came and showed us and gave us a better understanding and how we should apply these laws to our lives. So any place of worship where we're at, this is how it should be. That person that's in charge should what? Should be teaching the people about God and his laws now through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be. And the people that are going there should be going there for that reason and for no other reason. Not for entertainment, not to feel good, you know, not to do any of these other crazy things that we see that's happening, or not to follow a man. You know, any of these things that we see happening now in these, you know, place, so-called places of worship.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go from there. Let's go to Hebrews 5.
Okay.
We're going to bring out now Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember it says the priest's lips
mm-hmm.
should keep knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at Christ. Was he considered a priest? And if he was, what did he teach?
Okay.
In the places of worship where he was. So Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to read verse 5 and 6.
Okay. Hebrews 5, verses 5 and 6. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay, so Christ is what? A priest. He was made a priest by his Father, by the Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a priest forever. Forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was another priest, says without father, without mother. He was in the time of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ is made a priest after that similar manner forever. So Jesus Christ, so when he was here on the earth, right, he was considered to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
So we just read that the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for
mm-hmm.
he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right. So we're seeing that Christ is a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Luke 4. Let's look at some of the things that Christ taught when he went into places of worship. Because, again, the topic, what a place of worship should be about.
Mm-hmm.
And people out there, you know, want to see, okay, where I'm going, saying I'm worshiping God, is it like this?
Mm-hmm.
Are these the characteristics that I'm seeing, mm-hmm. you know, whenever I go there? Luke 4, start at verse 14, and we're going to read down to verse 20.
Okay. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all.
Okay, so Jesus taught in their synagogues.
Mm-hmm.
Synagogue, again, we still use this word today, a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
No different. Some people might call it a church,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Christ, the priest, the mm-hmm. high priest,
mm-hmm.
taught in their synagogues. So he went into these places of worship and he taught. But what did he teach? Is it like what we see today, people making up stories, telling stories, people saying things to glorify themselves? Because remember what we just read in Hebrews 5, he didn't glorify himself to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
He went and he did his job, taught the people, and that was it. The people glorified him, but
mm-hmm.
he didn't take on that glory for himself.
Because
mm-hmm. he knew that it wasn't about that. And when you look at these people today that are over these congregations, mm-hmm. that's exactly what you see. They're glorifying themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they have their followers glorifying them.
Exactly.
Instead of Christ.
Exactly. Good point. Because here, people are glorifying Christ, and that's
mm-hmm.
where the glory should be.
Mm-hmm.
So read on. So Christ went into these synagogues and he taught. What did he teach?
16 of Luke 4. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Okay, so he went into the synagogue, the place of worship, mm-hmm. on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So usually people have a place of worship where mm-hmm. they might get together more than once, but there's usually a main day that they get mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. on to go over scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Some do it on Sundays, which is the wrong day because that's not the seventh day that the Lord told us to mm-hmm. have a holy convocation on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
So just like back then, Christ went into the Sabbath day, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read.
Mm-hmm.
What was he reading? Was he reading a book about the Bible?
Energistic dynamics.
Yeah, exactly right. Was he reading some works by Plato?
The Power of the Mind, The Psychology of Winning.
Exactly. Let's see what he read. Read verse 17.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. So the Old Testament. So mm-hmm. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah was delivered mm-hmm. to him. Okay, read mm-hmm. on.
And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Okay, so Christ went in, and he read in Isaiah the part that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So he was basically reading a prophecy mm-hmm. that was written about him himself, Christ, mm-hmm. and what he would do mm-hmm. when he would come in the fleshly form.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ did this. He went into the synagogue and he read the scriptures mm-hmm. and he gave the people the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's all about. And he was our high priest.
Mm-hmm.
So these places of worship, some of them, what they'll do is they'll read a part of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll start out that way, but then they go off into a whole nother realm, and then they mm-hmm. start making it about themselves,
mm-hmm.
the pastor or the preacher or whoever, or the elder or whoever. They make it about themselves, but Christ mm-hmm. brought out the scriptures about himself and what he would do, so on and so forth, and he taught the people according to the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, right, and they should mm-hmm. seek it at his mouth, for he is the minister of God.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ was setting this example. So like mm-hmm. I said, when we go to these so-called places of worship, man, in a lot of cases, we don't see these examples. We see everything else. We see people doing push-ups. We see people dancing, people so-called getting the Holy Ghost, running around the church, you know, and all the stuff. I mean, singing, dancing, not saying that. If the word was being brought out and people are getting edified, there's nothing with singing because a lot of those psalms are songs.
Mm-hmm.
And even Christ himself, in the scripture, says he mm-hmm. sung in him.
Mm-hmm.
So he himself sang.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people, in a lot of cases, they make it about those other things more than being edified by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone plays a role in that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are going to these places mm-hmm. play a role.
Mm-hmm.
And the man that's over these congregations, what they also play another role as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So everyone plays a role on these places where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Were you going to go to Matthew 23?
No.
Okay. Can I go there right
quick?
Yeah. Now, remember that in the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was forbidden.
Yep.
So we're not supposed to learn about evil knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Paul, I believe it's in Romans, talked about being wise to do good and simple concerning evil.
Yep.
That's how we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to be full of good knowledge and have, like, you take a three-month-old baby and you read the last two chapters of a book on particle physics to that baby.
Mm-hmm.
The baby is like, gibberish? What is this? That's how we're supposed to be with evil.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not like, this is a 22, this is a 25, this is a 30, this is a 9, this is a 50 cal, this, and you know what? He ain't even worth the 9. I'm gonna just blast him with the 357. I'm gonna get my AK out of him. I'm gonna kill this. And this is how I'm gonna kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledgeable about that. We're not supposed to have that type of knowledge. Okay, knowledge of good things according to the Bible is what we're supposed to have. So let's read Matthew 23, starting at 1.
Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
The religious leaders have the office of Moses. And at the time Christ was around, they were still commanding everything from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much today. Read verse 3.
Luke 23, verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do.
Okay, hold on. So they was quoting from the Bible. They had their heritage, the whole setup, the priesthood, everything was from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So they was commanding you from the Old Testament, that observe, see it and do it. Understand it and do it. Read on.
But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not.
But don't do what they do, because they're teaching their own doctrine. Oh, you got to wash your hands vigorously up to the elbow before you eat.
Exactly.
Where that's not a scripture, a commandment in the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do after them. And he goes on to how they were hypocritical, unmerciful, not peaceful. I mean, they were sending Paul out to go kill people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You know, so, you know, without proof.
Yep.
They raised false witnesses against Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't do what they do.
Yep.
But when they command you out of the Bible, precept upon precept, line upon line, that's what you're supposed to do. And this is what he taught. And he's our example because he did it all with no sin.
Exactly. Yep, good point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go from there to Luke chapter 10.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 25 and 26.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the first scripture that we read, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should keep the law, right? And they should seek the law at his mouth. Christ was considered a priest.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Is considered a priest because it says forever and he's still alive. So while he was here on the earth, people, of course, was asking him a lot of questions and was dealing with him. Just like what people do today to their so-called priests or pastors or whoever. And the examples today that we see, like I said, it's very wrong. I mean, it's off. It's evil. Because people go to these pastors or priests or elders to get an answer. And what they get is nothing but foolishness. They get the answers that they get is basically to go against the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, Pastor, you know, I've been liking this woman, and but, you know, she's married, and, you know, she's feeling me, and I'm feeling her, and, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, but she's married. The pastor's response, well, God wouldn't want you to be unhappy. you know, so you should get with her. The woman is married. What does the law say about adultery? Thou shalt not commit adultery.
But that's part of the law that's done away with,
yeah.
Except for Deuteronomy 16 and Leviticus, I think it's 27, about the tithing, where we go and keep and we're going to cherry pick what we want.
Exactly.
We're going to keep the part that keep me in your pocket.
Exactly.
But the other stuff, you can, whatever keeps you happy, keeps you coming to this spot to give me that money, God wouldn't want you to be unhappy. So keep coming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another example, Pastor, you know, I've been checking out, this show, and these brothers, they'd be on the radio or on TV, and I was talking to one of them, and they were telling me that, we shouldn't eat pork. And they said that, it says that in Leviticus 11. Is that true? Well, no, that's not true. That's the Old Testament. You know, you can eat whatever because it's clean now, and according to Acts, when Peter had that vision, it says rise and eat. We can eat anything.
Yeah, but Peter was talking about, I've never eaten anything common or unclean.
Exactly.
It took him 2 days to figure it out. He didn't figure it out until he got to Cornelius' house and said, I'm not supposed to call any man common or unclean. But let's not read that part because we want people to be happy.
Exactly.
So you want to be happy eating your pork, eat your pork and keep coming to my spot.
Exactly, exactly. So all these things are off, man, all those examples. Let's look at an example of our priest, who's still very much alive, but when he was here on the earth, let's look at a record that was left of him, how he dealt with a person that came and asked him a question.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke 10:25-26.
Mm-hmm. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Okay, stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question that a lot of people ask, even today. Mm-hmm. What shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people might ask their pastors, what do I have to do today to get to go into heaven, as they put it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to be baptized, and you got to believe. So be baptized and believe, and then after that, you're saved. And that's the same. People walk around saying, I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
When none of us are saved.
Not yet.
Exactly. The scripture says those that endure until the end are saved. So the end is not here, and we haven't endured until the end yet. So none of us are saved. So that statement, I'm saved, is wrong and it's off.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, when you look at people that make that statement, they do everything that's contrary to what Christ told us to do. So people still ask that question, what do I have to do to go into heaven, as they put it?
Mm-hmm.
The man is coming to Christ, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What was Christ's response?
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou?
Wait a minute. So Christ referred back to that old thing, those laws, those old laws from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Christ really did that?
Mm-hmm.
Christ said to the man, what is written in the law?
Mm-hmm.
How are you reading it?
Mm-hmm.
How are you reading what's written in the law? Because that's the guide right there. If you want to inherit eternal life, that's what you got to follow.
Yep.
And when you read down, he goes into it. Don't commit adultery, and other accounts of the same question. Don't commit adultery. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not steal, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
All those things. This do, and you shall live.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see these examples today. People are being taught, you don't have to keep that old law.
Yep.
You don't have to do that no more. All you got to do is just believe or be baptized and believe, and you're saved.
Yep.
That's all you got to do.
Yep. And the new one is there's no separation between the Old Testament and New Testament. The separation is between Acts forward and John backwards. You know, so, but there's really is no separate. I want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
You made me think of this. Mm-hmm. Read. Let's read Acts 15 and 20. This is in the New Testament. Okay, and this is with the Acts. The book of Acts is dealing with the formation of the church.
Yep.
All right, and so what was supposed to be taught in the church? Mm-hmm. All right. So they was asking them, they had written them, they had a council, and they was asking, you know, what should we write these churches? So they came together and they, mm-hmm. listen, this. Okay.
Acts 50, verse 20.
Uh-huh.
But that we write unto them.
Okay, this is the extra that mm-hmm. we're going to tell them on top of what they already have, which is the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Read on.
That they abstain from pollutions of idols.
Halloween, Christmas, Easter, Lent, Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, May Day, you know, all these other holidays. The Google search for images of the satanic calendar, mm-hmm. the satanic wheel calendar. That'll put you down and everything. But read that again.
But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols.
Mm-hmm.
And from fornication.
Uh-huh.
And from things strangled and from blood.
And from blood, okay. But all of these things is already written in yep. the scriptures.
Exactly. Yep.
Right?
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Well, so what extra was it? It was just yep. nothing. It was just that they had issues with these yep. things at this time.
Exactly.
Herod mingling blood. Yep. People with his sacrifices, putting it in the food,
yep.
and they partaking of it because he declared a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different types of fornication that would happen at these idolatrous festivals.
Yep.
And things strangled and things like this that was already written in the scriptures.
Yep.
But these were high-powered issues that people had. Like, look at all the stuff that Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
I can't write meat unto y'all because they're... Y'all too dull to hear it. Y'all can't yeah. get it. Let me write this simple stuff to you.
Exactly.
From the scriptures. Let me edify you because y'all going over it ain't enough. So this exactly. is the extra that I'm going to, it's actually already there,
exactly.
but I'm going to just tell you in a different way.
Exactly.
Read verse 21. And this is why they mention stuff from the scriptures to be taught in the churches. Read on.
Acts 15:21. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him.
Wow.
Being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Wow.
Kaboom.
Wow. Yeah.
Let me loosen up this mic and drop it.
Wow.
Okay. So that, well, churches today, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
But Acts is dealing with the formulation of the church. And if you don't understand the Old Testament, you're gonna be forced to basically go off from what the formulation of the church is in Acts.
Right.
You have to understand, because they were talking to people that knew.
Yep, exactly.
That knew the Old Testament. So listen, the extra we're going to write to you what you should preach in your church is this stuff here that's already preached in the Old Testament, but we see y'all have issues with it because of the society you live in.
Exactly.
You know, so that's what we're supposed to have in our churches or in our meetings or our edification discussions that we have. Didn't it say in Deuteronomy, 6, about let the word of God be the frontlets for your eyes? Talk of it every day when you wake up,
yep.
when you're sitting chilling on your porch, when you're walking down the street, when you're going about your business, always talk about it.
Yep, exactly.
So So why would you not talk about it when you in your religious gatherings?
The reason why is people want to hear smooth things, and that's why. That's what we're going to go to now. That's what the problem is. Go to Isaiah 30. We're going to read 8 through 10. Because you know what? This book, man, is a history of us. And we've had this problem for like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah was prophesying about it.
Yeah.
We come out today still prophesying about it. Because people don't want to hear, oh, do this, do that. Oh, you got to quit from being a fornicator. Oh, you can't celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving. People don't want to hear that. Speak unto us smooth things. Tell us Jesus loves everybody.
Get deep.
Yeah, get deep. Deep knowledge.
Yeah.
Read Isaiah 30, 8 through 10.
Isaiah 30, starting at 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits.
That's what people want to hear, man. People want to hear the lies. People, that's why I said earlier before in the class, everyone plays a role in these places of worship. The people that's going there and the man that's over them. So the people that's going there are should be going there to seek to better their lives. Okay, what do I need to hear to get better so that when Christ returns, I can be found worthy to inherit eternal life? That's what it should be about. So it wasn't back. It wasn't like this way with us back then, because it was telling them, go write it before them and note it in a book. And we're reading this very same book today. That this is what a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. I don't want to hear that. What you talking about, man? I can't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, commit fornication. Oh, what you talking about? I can't be celebrating these different days. What are you talking about? I don't want to hear that. You mean I can't eat this? I can't eat shrimp, lobster? I don't want to hear that. What you talking about?
Yep. Now, you know they just came out with a study about bacon and processed meats.
Right.
Cause cancer.
Oh, yeah. I was hearing about that, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now people go ahead. You know what? Even this system of things in this last days and times is telling you that is bad for you. Don't eat it. I'm still going to eat my bacon. Okay, all right.
Yep, exactly.
And it's not because it's pork.
Nope.
It's got to be because it's got too much fat or something else in it.
Yeah.
So exactly. I'll just switch to like pork bacon with no fat. Okay, that's a bold strategy. Let's see how it pay off for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. So that's what our problem is. Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. And we're going to read here because the Lord, he's watching over all and he's seeing all things. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 1. And we're going to read all the way down through 11. But we're going to stop at certain points and explain.
Okay. Jeremiah 7, starting at 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Who is the Lord?
Christ.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord.
Okay, so the topic again, what a place of worship should be about. Christ is saying to Jeremiah, go stand in the gate where the Lord's house is, this place of worship, where the temple was at the time. Go stand there, right, and say these words. Read on. Read verse 3.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place.
So Christ was telling Jeremiah, go tell them, amend, meaning change your ways. Because a lot of times, man, people that's in these so-called places of worship, they have many issues. All of us got issues, as a matter of fact. That's why we go to these places to what we should be here. Okay, this is what I'm doing wrong. This is what I should repent from. Just like what you read in Acts. Stay away from things strangled. Stay away from things mixed with blood, pollution, fornication. Because that's what those people at that time needed to hear, because that's the society that they were living in.
Yep.
And those are the things that they were caught up in.
Yep.
So amend, change your ways. That's what people should be hearing. So Christ is telling this to the people here at this time, change your ways and I will cause you to dwell in this place. So they were in their homeland at the time. Christ was saying, if you change your ways, if you repent, I'm not going to bring you into captivity like I said I would if you continue in this wickedness. If you change, I'm going to cause you to stay right here in your land. So read on.
Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.
Okay, because at that time, that was the thing, man. That was the place, the temple. People went there, they did all these sins or whatever, and then they would go there to do a sacrifice. Not having that right mindset, they trusted in that building. People today still do that same thing. They trust in a building, in their church. Well, I go to church, you know, every Sunday or whatever. You know, I'm good. And I give my praises to God. You know, every week. I'm good. Read on.
For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt.
Okay, stop. So these are things that the people were doing at that time. So they were being reproved, corrected, told about their sins that they should change from. Much like what people do today. Shed innocent blood, walk after other gods, and believe it or not, when you celebrate days like today, Halloween, Christmas that's coming up, Easter, Lent, whatever, all these days are days dedicated to other gods, idols. And people go to these places of worship thinking that they're serving God and Christ when they're not. These are things that people should hear so that they can amend, meaning change their ways. Because they are thinking that it's all about a building. It's all about that place. And it's really not. It's about changing our ways. This is what we should go to these places of worship to hear. This is what the man of God that set up should be bringing out to the people to teach them.
And you know what? Oppress not the stranger. That stuff like when you do stuff and it's okay, but somebody else do it to you, and it's the wickedest thing on the face of the earth. Like a school resource officer beat up a child of ours that has problems, but he's of another family on the earth. It gets blown up, but a little while before that, a school resource officer that's one of us beat up a child that's one of us, and you didn't even hear about it. And you didn't even hear about it. That, but it's okay for us to kill each other. But when somebody else does it, it's the apocalypse. You know, that's how, and it makes us look bad in the sight of God, because it's not what we're supposed to have fair judgment. If we judge other people on how they deal with us, we're supposed to judge ourselves on how, on the, according to the same criteria. Otherwise, it's oppression.
So read 7 again and continue on.
Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit.
It says ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. The one example that I was thinking about last night is today, right? People go and to these churches or whatever, and preachers up. What's that doctrine about debt relief?
Spiritual debt cancellation.
Yeah, that's it. Spiritual debt cancellation. All you got to do is just say this, say that, and it will happen. Give your money, pay your tithes, then God will bless you. God will give you a blessing.
Sow a seed.
Those are lying words. The man that's coming out and saying that is a liar. Look at it for yourself. You've done that. What profit have come to you for doing that? Have you gotten a blessing after you did that, like you said you would?
Not a financial blessing, a spiritual blessing.
Exactly.
Is there still chaos and confusion ruling your life after that?
Exactly. Those are lying words, words that cannot profit. So those words that they're telling you is not going to profit you. But this is what goes on in these places of worship. And it's been from even back then, from back here till now. So read that again.
Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? Oh, man, you know what? That sounds like after Hurricane Katrina. Wow. When a famous actor from the 60s was like, why you want to go back there? So you can steal, murder, commit adultery, have the most corrupt police system in the United States that's run by us, and have a big Baal burning incense party that the city is known for. That's why you want to go back to New Orleans?
Exactly.
And they still trying to beat that man up for saying that.
Prophesied unto us smooth things.
We don't want to hear that real stuff.
Prophesied deceit.
We want to hear stuff that we could call real.
That's what the problem is. So it says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery? All these things happen. Swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, which was another god, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, celebrate all these different false holidays today. People are doing all these things, and what else are they going to do? Like, so today is Halloween. People are going to go out to these different parties, celebrate Halloween. They're going to have their children go out trick-or-treating, celebrate Halloween, and tomorrow they're going to be in the churches.
Yep, and they used to sacrifice our people for their wicked rituals on these days.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, a lot of our people end up missing around this time of year.
Yep.
Even today. But we going to take that, and we going to do it better than they do.
Yeah, exactly. So read verse 9 again and continue on.
Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye knew not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered.
Wow.
To do all these abominations?
Wow, wait a minute.
Did I put a T on that? I'm sorry.
Isn't this the same thing that happened today? We just explained it. People are going to, like today, like I said, it's Halloween. People are going to go out, do all this wicked stuff for this wicked satanic day, tomorrow being the churches. Yep. Right? Oh, we're delivered. We're saved. I'm saved.
I'm already saved. Fire baptized.
Exactly. I'm already saved, right? Fire baptized, like they say. All these abominations, and they go into these so-called places of worship, thinking everything is okay when it's not, when you're doing all these things. These are things that we should be repenting from and teaching our children not to be in these things. All these wicked things, man. Read on. Read 11.
Jeremiah 7, verse 11. is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord.
The Lord sees everything, man. So the temple at that time, that was the place to be, right, where the Lord should have been dwelling at. This is what they were doing. And it's become what, a den of robbers. And in Christ, when Christ came, didn't he say the same thing?
Yep. Robbers and thieves making merchandise out to people instead of edifying them how to get exactly right with the Lord.
Exactly. So we see that even though we're reading the Old Testament, nothing has changed. Christ came and said the same thing years later.
Mm-hmm.
Today, in 2015 and beyond, still the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are doing all these different wickedness in these places of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we're going there thinking that everything's okay. But like the scripture is saying, God sees everything. He sees all. Just like what he says, don't you think that I'm seeing this stuff?
He can see it from heaven.
Yeah, exactly. That's above everything. We can't fly to go to heaven. We can't touch the sky. You know? But he's seeing everything, man. So that's why we got to amend, change our ways. These places of worship,
mm-hmm.
that this is what we should be dealing with. Teaching mm-hmm. people to amend, change their ways, and people should be going there to hear these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go from there. We're going to go back to the New Testament again. Go to Acts
mm-hmm.
13 now.
Uh-huh.
Because you had read in 15 a great yep. example. We're going to read another example, because
mm-hmm.
you brought out the point earlier, this was when the Church of Christ was being formulated at mm-hmm. that time in Christ.
Yep.
So, and these examples were left for us to follow. So, mm-hmm. Acts 13,
uh-huh.
we're going to skip around on this chapter. So, uh-huh. first, read verse 13 down through 16.
Okay. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down.
Okay, so again, a place of worship. And they went in on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, the true day that we should be having a holy convocation.
Mm-hmm.
And sat down.
These men had the Holy Ghost on them, right?
Yeah.
And they went in there and sat down.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
It worked.
Into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today, you can go on YouTube. Some of us do it as a joke. Type in the Holy Ghost. You see people running around the church saying they're in the Holy Ghost. Literally running.
Boom, doom, 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 doom.
People shaking.
Doom,
doom, doom. The Holy Ghost.
Yeah, well, you know. There's a meme on the internet that if your Holy Ghost is not teaching you how to get right with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
it's not the Holy Ghost, it's ADHD, or what AADH, whatever it is. But
yeah.
But they went and sat down. Okay, mm-hmm. Are you able to read 15?
Yep. Yeah.
And after the reading of the law and the prophets, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.
Okay, so they read the law and the prophets because they were in a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Then after they did that, they called on them and said, okay, do you have any words of exhortation to say to the people?
Mm-hmm.
Say on.
Mm-hmm.
You have people in churches today, instead of similar, you might have a pastor that comes from out of town, a guest speaker, a pastor, mm-hmm. whatever, and they give a word or whatever of exhortation.
But these men did it for free.
Exactly. Because today they'll have a special fee for that visiting pastor.
Yeah, you got to pay me for sowing a seed.
Yeah. So read 16.
Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience.
Okay, stop. So now Paul is going to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. So take mm-hmm. heed, listen to what I'm going to mm-hmm. say. So they read the law and the prophets. Paul is going to expound further, because now that Christ has come, it's all about him, and that he should be the one that we should be teaching about the law. So read 23.
Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.
Okay, so Paul started talking about Jesus Christ. And when it says of this man's seed, talking about David, that's how Christ came through, the seed of David. So he was talking about Christ, preaching Christ to them. Skip to verse 38.
Okay. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.
Okay, so Paul was preaching to them Jesus Christ, saying, okay, Jesus Christ, it was prophesied that he would come into the earth and die for our sins, for the sins of Israel. A scripture that we read all the time, Matthew 1 and 21.
Yeah.
He came to save his people from their sins. In essence, Paul was doing the same thing to that church.
Yeah.
He was exhorting them, telling them Christ came and died for all of our sins, men of Israel, people of Israel. That's what he was saying. So,
please read 39.
Yeah, go ahead, read that.
And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know why? Because they broke that covenant with their disobedience.
Exactly.
So another covenant had to be made with the same requirement of the people.
Exactly.
Obedience to the word.
Exactly.
So this does not do away with the law of Moses.
Nope.
The requirement of obedience to those words is still there.
Exactly.
But another covenant with better promises, this time through Christ, is in place.
Exactly. All right, so read 42.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
Wow, so this is a good example of how people should be when they go to these places of worship. When you hear these words, this great exhortation, we should seek it. Say, man, yo, you know what? Why don't you come back next week and I'll preach the same thing? Unlike what we read in Isaiah 30, prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't tell us about this Christ and he died for our sins and this is what we got to do. We got to repent and, you know, be baptized and this and that. I don't want to hear that. This is a good example. So read 44.
And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
Okay. So that's the example, man. This is what places of worship should be about. We should go there to hear things, to amend our ways and change our ways. So just like in this time when the church was being formulated, guess what? That's what they did to Paul. And it's not saying that people are not going to have issues, because when you read in Acts, a lot of times, like when the church of Corinth was being formed, you see that. But then when you read later in Paul's letters to those churches, I mean, some issues came up.
Oh, yeah.
But the good thing was, at least it was communicating with them, asking them questions.
Yeah, how do we handle it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, yo, this came up, you know, this dude is doing fornication with his father's wife. Yeah, how do we deal with stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Marriage, you know, some believe in virgins or whatever, some don't. How do we deal with all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was the example.
Yeah.
You know, this is the example for us today, that how these places of worship should be. So let's go from there to 1 Peter chapter 4.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 11.
Okay. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
So when Paul was asked, do you have any words of exhortation to say to this people? He did. He stood up and he read. And when you read that whole thing on your own, that whole chapter, he went through the scriptures.
The history.
Exactly, the history, which is the word of God. Uh-huh. The oracles of God, same thing, the words of God.
Yeah.
So when Paul spoke, he spoke according to the words of God.
Yeah.
And read on.
Let me somewhere right quick.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, that's
Acts 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So if you're speaking as the oracles of God, you're not speaking as a man of God put in that position and you coming out the back of your backside with the word that you think is right or that's going to serve your purpose. You're speaking according to the word that was given from the beginning.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. So it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Okay. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. So that's who the glory should go towards and not towards men. So when we go to these places of worship, this is what we should be about. These are the examples that we should see. If we're not being about this and seeing these examples, we should leave. I mean, that's that simple.
Yep.
So any questions, you can call 1-877-871-1712. Again, check out our website, thevocc.com. Click around on those links just to, you know, this wicked day today, Halloween. Shouldn't be into it. And that's it. Have a good day.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/thevocc. Listen to our archive broadcast or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/thevocc. That's blogtalkradio.com/thebocc. Shalom.